I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Confessions of a Well-Intentioned Preacher. It details how I mistakenly ignored or explained away entire parts of Scripture in order to protect my hearers from legalism. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Lyman Stone writes about the certainty he found in the presence of Christ in his word and sacraments, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
I would cite you to the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government, because God has ordained the government for his purposes.
I will make you birthday cakes, cookies, brownies, you know, sell you anything else in the shop. I just don't do cakes for same-sex weddings.
When you're getting older and you see all of your kids loving the gospel and you think to yourself, thank God, here is a treasure and this treasure will outlive me.
There is no 100% certain factual case. There's always the possibility we got it wrong. But look, it's been 2,000 years and they haven't found a body.
Moms in labor, love, issues, etc.
What are you supposed to do with, well, it's not so much a strong claim, but maybe an insinuation if you have seen floating around an article from a journal called the Wisconsin Muslim Journal about Thomas Jefferson and Islam. It asks questions like, was Jefferson thinking about Muslims when he drafted his famed Virginia legislation talking about separation of church and state and religious tolerance? Was he thinking about Islam? Well, there's a case to be made that there was a small but significant population of Muslims among the slaves in America at the time of the American founding. Does that make Islam an American religion? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, June the 22nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be responding to an article in a Muslim journal, Thomas Jefferson and Islam as an American Religion. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest. A little bit later, we'll review the movie Incredibles 2 with Pastor Ted Geese. Some of our listeners, when we did our review of the first of those movies last week, had some concern about maybe a feminist agenda or an LGBTQ agenda at work in the film. We'll find out whether or not those concerns were warranted. Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. for our feature this week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about miracles while you sleep. Then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We have four soundbites we've collected from this week's Issues Etc. audio. We'll play them for you. It'll be your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad. It goes to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program. In the meantime, joining us to respond to an article in a Muslim journal titled Thomas Jefferson and Islam as an American Religion, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of several books, including The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam, and The Triumph of the West. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you.
You are an expert both in Thomas Jefferson and in Islam. I gotta wonder, is there credibility to the, I guess, kind of the insinuation that Thomas Jefferson had Islam in mind when he was drafting both his famed Virginia legislation about religious tolerance and other religious ideas he had about religious life in America?
I frankly doubt it that had any influence in his formulation of the Statue of Freedom in Virginia. What's interesting in this particular piece is that it mentions Jefferson at age 22 as a law student in Williamsburg, Virginia, bought a Quran, and then it goes on to say this was 11 years before drafting the Declaration of Independence, which is an implication that somehow, a false implication, that somehow his having the Quran influenced even the Declaration of Independence. And there's absolutely no evidence for that whatsoever. So that's a kind of a implied deceptive statement. It's also significant to note that when he bought a copy of the Quran in at age 22. That's nothing new. Jefferson, by the time he died, had 7,000 volumes in his library. He was known to be an individual who could not resist buying books, and he did. In fact, in part, that helped contribute to his dying in poverty. The purchase of this particular Quran had no historical connection whatsoever, not only to the Declaration of Independence, but also never as establishing or his valuing Islam as a religion along with all the other religions that were present in the United States. All of that is a pure guess, and so, but the article is cleverly written in that regard. In other words, that somehow Islam was influential in what Jefferson did in terms of buying a Quran and in terms of what he wrote in the Declaration of Independence. And it conveniently ignores what happened a few years later. For example, Jefferson, during the time the Constitution was formed, by the way, Jefferson was not present. He was an ambassador over in France from 1784 to 1789. And while he was an ambassador over there, John Adams was the ambassador in England at the same time. But what was taking place, for example, in October 84, soon after Jefferson had assumed his position in France, the Moroccan pirates, Muslims, captured Betsy, the name of a merchant ship, and Spain negotiated a release of the ship and the crew. But soon after that, two more American ships were captured by the Muslim pirates from Algeria. And the ship Maria was soon captured after that. And in July of 1785, the ship Dolphin, these were merchant ships, was also captured. So the problem, for example, given the last one, then, of course, the Muslim pirates demanded huge amount of money that, for example, could not, the Americans couldn't afford to pay it. So Jefferson then went over to England to meet with John Adams. And when they were meeting with John Adams in London, they met with the ambassador from Tripoli and asked him on what basis or what right the Muslims, corsairs, as they were often called, or pirates, could attack the American ships, confiscate them, and enslave its crew. Well, the Muslim ambassador from Tripoli responded, basically saying that, and by the way, this is in the introduction to Jefferson's reproduced Bible, it says, for example, the following, that it is written, or he said, it is written in the Quran that all nations should have acknowledged their authority to Muslims, and if not, they were sinners, and that this was a right for, therefore, to wherever they could be found to enslave them and to capture them, and so also slay them if necessary. That was the response that the ambassador gave to Adams and to Jefferson. And so there's another example to show, for example, that if Jefferson had any soft feelings, if I may use that word, earlier when he bought the Quran many years before that, they soon were dampened when he was beginning to experience what happened there. And I might mention, you may have another question here, but then when Jefferson became president in 1801, he, for example, again encountered the particular problem, and it resulted in what's often called the Barbary Wars. Again, they were capturing American ships, in this case demanding again huge amounts of money, which the Americans could not afford. And so Jefferson then, as president, demanded, for example, that they cease doing this, and instead of sending money, Jefferson sent a fleet of U.S. Marine Corps who were organized not too long before that. And so in 1804, still in Jefferson's first term, Lieutenant Stephen Decatur, whose name has been honored in a number of cities in this country, in Georgia and in Illinois, with 70 Marines daringly stormed the captured American ship called Philadelphia in the port of Tripoli. And they subdued the Muslim pirates and set the ship on fire and didn't lose a single man. That was Jefferson's response in 1804. Then a year later, at the Battle of Derna in Tripoli, 1805 of April, the U.S. Marines freed Americans that were held as slaves by the Muslims. And together, the Americans were aided by about 400 mercenaries from the area to in this battle. And this victory resulted in the Marines. Ultimately, as you and I know, there's a famous phrase in the Marine song, from the shores of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. All of that goes back to 1805 at the Battle of Derna. In other words, after that, the Americans had basically conquered the right to have free access to the Mediterranean for trade and other purposes.
So is there anything, obviously Jefferson's ideas of religious tolerance would include all religions. Is there any way that one can credibly claim that Jefferson kind of read the Quran and got ideas essential to religious tolerance from the
Not
Quran?
Not that I know of. I've looked for this for a long time, and I have never been able to find it that his having the Quran influenced him in any regard. And one can say, maybe when he bought the Quran, he maybe had a positive view, but his experience then with the Moroccans, the states of Morocco, the northern shores of Africa, often called the Barbary Shores, I think disillusioned him. And that, again, of course, I would say is probably something that is often not remembered or mentioned. And the article also says, was Jefferson thinking about Muslims when he drafted his famed Virginia legislation? No, not likely. There's absolutely no evidence for that. Jefferson just wanted basically political freedom. And of course, he wasn't going to deny it to the Muslims, but that the Muslims or the Islamic religion influenced him, there isn't a shred of evidence for that.
Another thing, a feature that it mentions is kind of a perfunctory White House celebration of the beginning of Ramadan, which I don't know how far back that particular American tradition goes.
It started with Hillary.
Okay, so it started with during the Clinton administration?
Yes, it's quite recent.
So what do you make of that? I mean, presidents do have the Easter egg roll. They do have Christmas at the White House. They're often very secularized versions of these Christmas or these Christian holidays. Do you make of the White House observing Ramadan even in that sense?
It's basically the American posture of seeing all religions having freedom to exist, and may even imply that they're all of equal value. Now, that's an argument that can be made but can also be countered. But it's been, and you know, the constitutions that we have ultimately finished in 1787 indicates that there should be no religious test in terms of individuals holding office or in any other capacity. So that, in a sense, is consistent with that. And it reflects in many ways also the deistic posture that many of the founding fathers had that was obviously incorporated into the Constitution. And as we may or may not know, the Constitution doesn't even include the word God. In fact, it was interesting when the Constitution was being debated and to be approved by the various states, Alexander Hamilton from New York was asked how come, and critically he was asked, you did not include God in the Constitution, to which he sort of tongue-in-cheek said, we must have forgotten it. I would say, they didn't forget it. It was a deistic posture, basically not anti-Christian, but will tolerate Christianity along with any other religion, and therefore it didn't make it into the president of the Constitution. And it's interesting, when Washington assumed presidential office then in 1789 and took the oath of office, he said at the end, by the way, the Constitution that he promises, in the, its oath of office, rather, is in the Constitution. And at the end, he said, and so help me God. But that's not in the Constitution. George Washington ad-libbed that, and every president since then has been ad-libbing it, too. That's very interesting.
With only about a minute or so here, Dr. Schmidt, there was the incident in the first year of the Trump administration where he did not observe the beginning of Ramadan. That was considered a slight to Muslims. Do you think it's best that American presidents simply stop any kind of religious or quasi-religious observances outside their own particular piety? About a minute and a half.
Yeah, I would, if someone were to ask me, I think they ought to stop doing them all. That would be most consistent. And by the way, last year, Trump did ignore this particular event. And why he picked it up now again, I don't know. But again, maybe it's part of the so-called quote-unquote American spirit. We want to be, in a sense, tolerant of all religions. And so they have this particular iftar event during Ramadan and lighting a Christmas tree, if you will. And that's been greatly changed since its original implementation of it. Now, for example, they have even Muslim symbols on the tree. So that's about it. I don't think, for example, one can say Jefferson or the Constitution in any way was influenced by Islamic writings or doctrine or the Quran.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of several books, including The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam, and The Triumph of the West. When you purchase The Great Divide using the Amazon link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and look for The Great Divide by Dr. Alvin Schmidt. Dr. Schmidt, thank you, and it was good seeing you this year again at the Issues, etc. Making the Case Conference.
Well, thank you for having me.
When we come back, we're going to be reviewing the movie Incredibles 2. Last week, we sat down with Pastor Ted Geese in advance of this sequel, a sequel that took 14 years to come along, and he watched The Incredibles for the first time, the first movie for the first time. We got his thoughts on it. We also got our listeners' thoughts as well. Our listeners had some concerns in advance of the release of Incredibles 2 that maybe it had maybe a little bit of a feminist agenda at work in it, or maybe even an LGBTQ agenda. We'll see whether or not those concerns were warranted on the other side of the break when we review the movie Incredibles 2.
It is no sign of your intelligence to confirm that all religions are going up the same mountain. You have to deny the fundamental teachings of the religions of the world to come to that conclusion.
Craig Parton, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, Religion on Trial, Cross-Examining Religious Truth Claims.
They may all be wrong, but do any of them ask to be tested by the canons of evidence used in the law, science, and history?
Learn more about Religion on Trial at issuesetc.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.